to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts for today, together with Joy B. We have a full show for you today. Thanks for joining us to listen in.
Yes, thank you for listening. As usual, lots going on in Central Iowa, and it's a pleasure to be able to report on some of it here on Local Talk. Before we get started, here's a brief look at this week's weather. Today, rain and snow, although very little of the ice or snow is expected to accumulate. Temperatures are expected to be just above freezing in the higher 30s, although it will drop down to the low 20s at night. Tuesday should be cooler and windy with high around 31, but the sun should return and we can expect sunny days through the rest of the coming week and weekend. Temperatures are expected to keep rising with a high almost up to 50 degrees on Friday. Temperatures should drop on the weekend to high 30s on Saturday and high 20s on Sunday. And there is a slight chance of rain or snow on Friday night.
Thank you, Joy. Here are some local news from Iowa in the national and statewide fronts brought to you by the Iowa Informer, iowainformer.com. Iowa Republicans and Democrats blamed each other for Friday's federal government shutdown. House Republicans, including the three from Iowa, had approved a four-week continuing spending resolution that would have reauthorized the expired Children's Health Insurance Program for 6 years, but not renewed protections from deportation for undocumented immigrants who arrived in the United States as children. Both were priorities for the Democrats. The House subsequently adjourned, leaving the Senate to either accept its resolution or shut down the government. The Senate rejected it. Congressman Dave Lobsack, the only Democrat in Iowa's congressional delegation, voted against the continuing resolution. He said, "Paul Ryan and Republican leaders in the House have yet again resorted to kicking the can down the road just so they can get out of town for the weekend." Republican Senator Chuck Grassley blamed Democrats for the shutdown over the immigration issue. He said in a statement, "It's disappointing that Democratic leaders chose to vote against legislation that would have kept the government up and running just to make a point about a policy unrelated to government funding." According to a report by the news service McClatchy, D.C., a Russian oligarch, Alexander Torshin, helped found a Russian gun group called Right to Bear Arms, which met with NRA officials in Russia in December 2015. The meeting included Pete Brownwell, who is president of the National Rifle Association, and who owns the firearms parts manufacturer Brownwell's Incorporated near Grinnell. There is an FBI investigation into whether the Russian oligarch Torshin illegally funneled money to the NRA to spend during the 2016 election to support Donald Trump. Torshin has alleged ties to organized crime and is close with Russian President Vladimir Putin. It is illegal in the U.S. to spend foreign money to influence federal elections. The NRA spent at least $55 million in 2016 supporting Trump and other Republicans more than any other group. State Representative Chip Baltimore, a Boone Republican, was arrested early Friday morning in Ames for drunk driving and possessing a firearm, a Smith & Wesson pistol, while intoxicated. Baltimore is chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and in recent years has supported legislation to toughen penalties for drunk drivers. Republican House Speaker Linda Upmeyer criticized Baltimore's actions. "Drunk driving is unacceptable behavior for anyone, let alone a state legislature," she said. "We will work through this issue and take appropriate action quickly. We will also work with Representative Baltimore to get him the help and support that he needs at this time." On Thursday, Iowa's Insurance Division Commissioner Doug Ahman was appointed chairman of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners Life Insurance and Annuities Committee. The national group is governed by the heads of state insurance commissions and helps set standards and regulate insurance policies. Ahman was appointed as the commissioner for Iowa by Governor Terry Branstad in 2017. Last year, when he was involved with an unsuccessful effort to establish a stopgap health insurance plan in Iowa meant to help the state's failing Affordable Care Act marketplace by replacing subsidies with tax credits. Last year, President Trump personally intervened to block it in an effort to disable the Affordable Care Act. Ahman has said that he has no plans this year to make similar proposal. And that was some of Iowa's news on the state and national platforms, brought to you by the iowainformer.com. More stories can be found at iowainformer.com. We started out local talk today with the weather, which, as you probably have noticed, is quite soggy, but warmer. In keeping with this, here's Pat Schlarbaum to talk about January thaw.
How wonderful it is to have a January thaw. And there was a possum yesterday walking through my backyard, just as bold as you please, checking out all the little bird feeding sites where there might be a pellet of corn or a sunflower seed or two. He was just out there doing what possums do in broad daylight because of a January thaw. And this is an excerpt from the Sand County Almanac by Aldo Leopold. Each year, after the midwinter blizzards, there comes a night of thaw when the tinkle of dripping water is heard in the land. It brings strange stirrings not only to creatures abed for the night, but to some who have been asleep for the winter. The hibernating skunk, or possums, curled up in his deep den, uncurls himself and ventures forth to prowl the wet world, dragging his belly in the snow. His track marks one of the earliest datable events in that cycle of beginnings and ceasings which we call a year. The track is likely to display an indifference to mundane affairs uncommon at other seasons. It leads straight across country, as if its maker had hitched his wagon to a star and dropped the reins. I follow, curious to deduce his state of mind and appetite and destination, if any. The months of the year, from January up into June, are a geometric progression in the abundance of distractions. In January, one may follow a skunk track, or search for bands on the chickadees, or see what young pines the deer have browsed, or what muskrat houses the mink have dug, with only an occasional and mild digression into other doings. January observation can be almost as simple and peaceful as snow, and almost as continuous as cold. There is time not only to see who has done what, but to speculate why. A meadow mouse, startled by my approach, darts damply across the skunk track. Why is he abroad in daylight? Probably because he feels grieved by the thaw. Today, his maze of secret tunnels, laboriously chewed through the matted grass under the snow, are tunnels no more, but only paths exposed to public view and ridicule. Indeed, the thawing sun has mocked the basic premises of the microtine economic system. The mouse is a sober citizen who knows that grass grows in order that mice may store it as underground haystacks, and that snow falls in order that mice may build subways from stack to stack. Supply, demand, and transport all neatly organized. To the mouse, snow means freedom from want and fear. A rough-legged hawk comes sailing over the meadow ahead. Now he stops, hovers like a kingfisher, and then drops like a feathered bomb into the marsh. He does not rise again, so I am sure he is caught and is now eating some worried mouse engineer who could not wait until night to inspect the damage to his well-ordered world. The roughleg has no opinion why grass grows, but he is well aware that snow melts in order that hawks may again catch mice. He came down out of the Arctic in the hope of thaws, for to him, a thaw means freedom from want and fear. The skunk track enters the woods and crosses a glade where the rabbits have packed down the snow with their tracks and mottled it with pinkish urinations. Newly exposed oak seedlings have paid for the thaw with their newly barked stems. Tufts of rabbit hair bespeak the year's first battles among the amorous bucks. Further on, I find a bloody spot encircled by a wide sweeping arc of owl's wings. To this rabbit, the thaw brought freedom from want, but also a reckless abandonment of fear. The owl has reminded him that thoughts of spring are no substitute for caution. The skunk track leads on, showing no interest in possible food and no concern over the rompings or retributions of his neighbors. I wonder what he has on his mind, what got him out of bed. Can one impute romantic motives to this corpulent fellow dragging his ample belt line through the slush? Finally, the track enters a pile of driftwood and does not emerge. I hear the tinkle of dripping water among the logs, and I fancy the skunk hears it too. I turn homeward, still wondering. And that's an excerpt from the Sand County Almanac of a January Thaw. This is Pat Schlarbaum with Community Radio KHOI, Story City, Ames. And there was a possum yesterday walking through my backyard, just as bold as you please, checking out all the little bird feeding sites where there might be a pellet of corn or a sunflower seed or two. He was just out there doing what possums do in broad daylight because of a January thaw.
You're broken down and tired while living life on a merry-go-round. And you can find the fighter, but I see it in you, so we can walk it up. We gon' walk it up. Silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet.
The second annual Women's March occurred last Saturday and Sunday in the U.S. and worldwide. If you can hear us, hear our vote. This was the Iowa theme. Power to the polls was the theme for the nation. And look back, March Forward was the international theme of the 2018 Anniversary Women's March. In New York City, it is estimated that more than 200,000 protesters marched this year, approximately 50,000 protesters in San Francisco, 500,000 in Los Angeles, more than 40,000 in Oakland, and more than 10,000 in Washington, D.C. Some cities, such as Chicago and Philadelphia, had larger protests this year than last. It's estimated that the two cities combined had more than 300,000 protesters. Around 300 people marched in Palm Beach, Florida, even though Trump canceled his trip to Mar-a-Lago this weekend. In Des Moines, the crowd was estimated from 6,000 to 7,000. Several generations of families, neighbors, and church congregations gathered at the Des Moines Capitol. The audience had thousands of signs expressing strong feelings about voting, the Trump administration policies, and the Me Too and Time's Up movements. Women's health, education, CHIP, equal rights, equal pay, human rights, and many other issues.
Joy B. and reporter Patch Larbaum were on the scene to interview many of the people at the rally, assisted by Cynthia McClure, who is our engineer for today. A report will be ready for Wednesday's local talk, but we wanted to share some of the things people said at the rally today with you. Here's a medley of recorded voices, beginning with Ames resident Holly Hansen, with a message that may be meaningful to many people here in Ames.
Her sign featured a photo of Mary Larson of Ames, whose memorial service was being held on the same day, Saturday. It reminded me that many at the rally brought loved ones with them in spirit. In my case, it was my mother. So let's start with remembering Mary Larson, who passed away 2 weeks ago.
I'm here to bring Mary here because she would have been here. She would have been here.
You're here with a sign for Mary Beth Larson. She just passed away recently, correct?
2 weeks ago today.
And her funeral's today.
Yep.
And your sign has a picture of Mary on it and her birth date and when she passed away and a beautiful picture of her with a flower. And then the other side is love, is choice, equality, and acceptance. And in pink and black letters. It's very beautiful. You want to represent Mary, who can't be here today. What do you think Mary might have said?
I don't even know what she'd say about Trump, because she was a very strong and consistent advocate, a fellow artist, and a dear friend, and a compassionate advocate.
I'm sure she appreciates what you're doing. I'm sure her family and friends do, too. So thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Lizzie Gilman. My sign says, loving our neighbors means working for justice. I am actually a postulant in the ordination process towards the priesthood in the Episcopal Diocese of Iowa. We are here working for justice today, and I'm here with my two daughters and my husband. We're actually here with a big group from our church, and this is my mom, and this is my daughter's sign. It says, girls, be the best. Because she knows that she has a little bit of an uphill battle. And then this is my four-year-old, and hers just says, go, girls, go.
Sisterhood of Iowa is a group that started in Cedar Rapids. It's a group of ladies who met right after the inauguration, and we were just so full of angst. We didn't know where to turn.
If we don't stop isolation, blaming immigration groups, now it's going to be worse.
And what we focus on is voter rights and getting people registered, passing out constitutions so that everybody knows you're armed with information. We aren't militant. We're Americans just trying to keep hold of our country. We're like the protective mothers who want to protect it for grandkids, children, for, you know, school children, so on and so forth, and be out there and promote things that are not going to stomp on our civil liberties. Just protect your democracy.
I can't believe I'm actually coming to a march.
So have you ever been to one in your lifetime?
No.
And what's your age?
67.
Can you tell me what your sign says?
It says, pissed off, Grandma. It's my poster. It's short and sweet.
My name's Brian. For me today is that we have the worst president for women that we've ever had in my lifetime. It's time to stop this misogynistic, male-dominated country we have. We have 50-50 men and women, and I think that's what our government should look like. And I'm just kind of tired of the old white man government, and it's time to support women and get more women involved in government. The grab them by the... I just can't... I've never even gotten over that line, let alone the things that have happened since, you know, and just, I can't sit by anymore.
Solidarity of us all being one, men and women. Just, I have a lot of other issues, like with the wall and women's rights for their own body and getting out their vote. Everybody needs to just get out and vote this time. Don't be complacent.
Sue Lynn, Progressive Women, formed our group after the election last year. We have candidates come and speak to us, all of the gubernatorial candidates, the congressional candidates. We've had talks on white privilege, on how to talk to people on the other side. And then we also make resistance phone calls, resistance emails, faxes. We've marched two or three times. You know, we just do whatever we can to resist this despotic, anti-American president and his entire administration that is just destroying the America that we know. But we're in a tough part of the state now, very conservative. We want desperately to get rid of Steve King. We are in that district, and we will work very hard. We have a fantastic candidate, J.D. Shulton, and most of us are for him. We really want to see him or one of the other two candidates that is running, you know, be able to beat Steve King, but it's a heavy, heavy lift.
What brought me out today was that it's the first anniversary and 70% of the country has been carrying heavy angst for a year. So I thought I'd come out, and I guess if I had to pick one issue, it would be the undermining of my country and its rules and mores as I've grown up to know them. The right wing has been moving towards trying to run the country, so they finally found a dupe, and that upsets me. I was looking for a top hat to wear to my daughter's wedding, so I spent $100, and when this march came up, I decided the hat would be the perfect billboard. So I went to Joann's in Ames and got some ribbon, and I bought a shirt that said, "Do what you love," that was pink. I cut it up, covered the hat, wrapped it in the ribbon, and there you go. The intersectionality of all human beings.
Can you say what your sign says?
What you allow is what will continue. I'm studying social work, and just really it's important to me to talk about systematic oppression and that we need to recognize that it is occurring, and by not acknowledging that, it'll continue to persist.
My sign says the most powerful force is a woman determined to rise. Having the courage to want something to change and the willingness to make it happen is something very powerful, and I think every woman has that courage and should have that courage.
And what does your sign say?
My sign says, our minds, our bodies, our votes, our power. I can say me too, like it's happened to me, so it's so sad that it's happened to so many other people, but it's nice that people are speaking out.
I'm Gordon Lundberg from Ames. I'm here because I support the women and because I'm absolutely opposed to what the Republicans are doing. Reproductive rights are at the top of the list. Also, the racism is just intolerable.
Most politicians don't have any idea what Planned Parenthood does for us. We're definitely going to be missing it in the future, and hopefully they can get it changed around.
You know, it's really important that we keep picking up more women to run for office, take leadership roles.
My name is Anne. I feel as though both in Iowa and nationally, women have had many rights that have been restricted. I think we need to work to restore those. I think we need more women to be in Congress and in the State House. Happy to see so many women running, and I hope that trend continues.
It's a play on words from like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
And of course, it's a woman's place to be in the resistance. Little Star Wars theme for my friend.
I'm Juliana.
I'm Donna.
And what do your signs say?
Impeach Benedict Donald. America's crying. And then Medicare for all and dreamers must stay. Women's rights are being ignored. The real sign of that was when they had all men planning the Medicare and trying to get rid of Obamacare instead of having a good representation of women.
Can you just tell me what your sign says?
Sure. It says, boys will be boys, with the second boys crossed out, and instead decent humans written on it.
So boys will be decent humans.
Yes. We can't normalize bad behavior by anybody, especially our young men, and we have to be good examples for them.
What do you hope when you grow up?
I'd like to definitely see more female leaders and then diversity be accepted in the country.
Just to have respectful people that lead our country. For everyone to come together and just have fun.
And
just to
feel like you're not.
Just for everyone to come together and feel good.
Hold your head up. Lift the top of your mind. Put your eyes on the earth. Lift your heart to your own home planet. What do you see? What is your attitude? Are you here to improve or damage?
Buffy St. Marie. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with Joy B.
At KHOI, we just learned that a somewhat new level of communication is being explored by Ames and Iowa City's municipal governments. Some of the Ames and Iowa City Council members will meet in the near future. Iowa City's Mayor Jim Throgmorton says he is big on collaboration to support positive and organic city development. Mayor Throgmorton will be in Ames tonight to make a public presentation drawing upon his background as a scholar and elected official in Iowa City about becoming mayor and enacting that role over the past 24 months, including the challenges of dramatic state and federal policies under the new administrations. Throgmorton is a former city councilman and is professor emeritus of urban and regional planning at the University of Iowa, where he taught for 23 years. He will be speaking at the ISU Design on Main Gallery at 203 Main Street in Ames. The lecture is open to the public and will occur between 6 and 7 p.m. today. Mayor Throgmorton spoke with Ursula and myself earlier to introduce his work and the ideas he plans to present tonight.
I and three new people were elected to Iowa City City Council in November 2015, and we intended to make incremental changes that would lead the city toward becoming a more inclusive, just, and sustainable place, which we have been doing and were pretty successful at during the first year. And it was pretty exciting in its own way, and there was a lot of interest here in Iowa City about that. But November 2016 brought a very surprising election result, and there have been, you know, a whole array of executive orders from the president that have had significant effects for many of Iowa City residents, and quite a few pieces of new legislation enacted by the state legislature that likewise have had a significant effect on people in Iowa City.
And how is it affecting the residents of Iowa City when you say it's impacting them?
Here are two specific examples. Early on in his administration, the president issued executive orders concerning immigrants, undocumented residents, and also refugees. So remember, one executive order banned immigration from six particular countries. We have quite a few refugees and immigrants who live in our city. Primary clusters of population are Sudanese and Congolese. Those two executive orders in particular sent a shockwave through particular parts of our community.
In the lecture tonight, your talk will be about things you've learned about what can and can't be done under these circumstances?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, but that's not the whole story. I'm both a scholar and a mayor. I've published quite a bit on topics related to transformation of cities. So in part, what I want to do is discuss what I'm going to call the unfolding of cities.
Can you explain a little bit more the term unfolding of a city?
Sure. Urban planning emerged, 100 or so years ago in a situation where people thought that the direction that cities took over time, how they would change over time, could be planned by some central entity, typically a city planning commission or a city planning department or something like that. So, you know, you develop comprehensive plans and then just follow those plans. And what's vastly more complicated than that, mayors and other individuals do not have the power to control the direction in which their cities can change. What they instead find themselves in is a very complex interweaving of jurisdictions, professions, interest groups, a whole bunch of stuff like that. Other cities, other counties, public works engineers, urban planners, traffic engineers, that wide variety of organizations, people, and interests interact over time to gradually cause cities to unfold. In other words, not to move in a direction that was planned by some central agency of some kind, but instead unfold, kind of like a flower unfolds in the spring. What mayors can do is influence the direction that unfolding takes. I've tried to exercise that in as strongly as I can within the bounds of our city charter. And therefore, from a scholarly point of view, what I'm going to try to do is discuss the kind of steps that are involved in and challenges involved in doing that. The interesting thing about it is that that direction goes in a very different direction from what the president and I think leaders in the Iowa State Legislature and the governor are trying to do. So that creates very interesting challenges for Iowa City and for me as the mayor of Iowa City. So the remainder of the talk will focus on responding to the kinds of policies and orders, et cetera, coming from the federal and state governments.
How did these stories about trials and tribulations of a mayor in Iowa City translate into useful information for folks here in Ames?
The specifics of the governmental structure and processes and so on varies from city to city. Then there's sort of more general issues that all larger cities face.
And we're speaking with Mayor of Iowa City, Jim Throgmorton. Thank you for speaking with us. Are you in communication with our new mayor, or do you plan to visit him while you're here in Ames?
You know, I spoke with some of your city council members at the National League of Cities meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, back in early November. And actually, Tim Garten and I have been communicating via email about arranging a time when our city council could meet with Ames' city council just to share ideas about the situations we face in our cities and what we're trying to do about it. More informal discussion, just kind of get to know each other and get to share ideas and thoughts about how to do things better.
So this is kind of a new thing for both cities.
Yeah, it was resulted from a conversation that Tim and I had in North Carolina.
So it sounds like you're very interested nice. In really connecting.
I do think it's really important for members of Iowa City government to be able to connect with other people out in the state without trying to tell anybody else what to do or what to believe or how to act. Because after all, we're Iowans, and we want to be able to be really collaborative members of the population of the state of Iowa. I'm sure that our city manager, Jeff Fruin, communicates occasionally with the city manager up in Ames. But I am a very strong believer in collaborative forms of government, and I'm a very strong believer in listening carefully to what other people say, taking their views into account, trying to build their views into whatever decision you feel like you have to make, so that in the end, the decision reflects the whole of Iowa City rather than just one small faction of it.
Like the lady that was just elected, she was the first person elected as a Sudanese Muslim American woman. That was really big news in the whole nation.
You're absolutely correct about that, Joy. Mazayir Saleh is, in fact, the first Sudanese American member of a city council in the United States. We also have a really, I think, quite charismatic young African-American man, Kingsley Botchway, you know, and we have a retired landscape architect, and we have a retired nurse, a financial advisor, and a lawyer. So,
right. I think it makes a really great difference that the people are starting to come in and speak out more so than what I saw in the past. So I think that's great.
Yeah. I would agree. We have a very vigorous culture of democratic engagement. At our last council meeting 5 days ago, members of the Oakdale Prison Community Choir came into our council meeting and during our community comment period surprised us all by singing a new song by Melanie DeMore titled Lead with Love. It was gorgeous to watch and really, from my point of view at least, exhilarating to see. So, yeah, for me, that's one of the joys of living in and being mayor of this city, that really intense, passionate culture of democratic engagement. I think it's one of the many, 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 many things that make Iowa City a very special place and a great asset for the state of Iowa. So I think for people who either don't like Iowa City or don't like aspects of what we do, I would hope they'd come with a desire to just listen and learn how things look like and feel like from Iowa City's point of view. So I would hope some people like that would come and be interested in just listening. And then maybe if they have questions, you know, I'll hear the questions and try to answer them.
Thanks so much for speaking with us, and I hope you enjoy your stay in Ames.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me to do this interview.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Excuse me. If you've just joined us, this is Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today, together with Joy B. And that was Iowa City's Mayor Jim Throgmorton. He will be speaking at the ISU Design on Main Gallery at 203 Main Street today in Ames. And the lecture is open to the public. It will occur between 6 and 7 p.m. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts for today. I'm here with Joy B. and Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Welcome back, Allison.
Good morning.
Allison comes once a month to give us a preview of what public events you can enjoy in our area during the month of February.
Yes. Well, I have a couple for the next week or so, and then on into February.
Okay, awesome. All right, let's do this.
We've got a couple of exhibits that are open here. One at the Octagon. Chris Martin has his exhibit on display now through February 17th, Amalgamation. And it features stools, chairs, and tables by Chris. And he is a professor of art and visual culture in the ISU College of Design. And
these are no normal stools, tables, and chairs.
No, they are not. They are not. They're functional for furniture pieces. And they have a real Ghana is one of his inspirations.
Yeah, he lived in Africa and was inspired by the work there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. You can check that out at the Octagon Center for the Arts, which is open from 10 to 5:30. And then at Design on Main Gallery until February 13 is Fractured Vistas and Mechanical Topographies. An exhibition exploring landscape, architecture, and the sense of place. And it features 40 works from artists that are actually in the College of Communications and Fine Arts and Media at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Jody Boyer and Russ Nordman. Some collages and paintings. And so that sounds like it will be very interesting as well. And that's at the Design on Main Gallery through February 13th.
And that's on Main Street.
On Main Street, yes.
Just west of Douglas.
Yes, 203 Main Street. Mm-hmm. The Actors Theater is kicking off their 2018 season with The Murder Room. And this is a British crime thriller, but it's a spoof, of course, on British crime thrillers in the style of Agatha Christie and Monty Python.
And Clue.
An interesting combination. Yes. Fast-paced with witty dialogue and nonstop laughs. And that's this weekend and February 1st through the 3rd. Mm-hmm. And those are 7:30 Friday and Saturday night. And then on February 4th, they'll also do a matinee at 2. And that's in their theater, Actors Theater. Also coming up on Main Street is Downtown Dollar Days. February 26th through the 28th, and you'll get some great sales and specials. So shop local on Main Street during January Dollar Days, the 26th through the 28th. We have a number of cooking classes from Wheatsfields, and they do a variety of things throughout the year. On Thursday, February 1st, they will be doing a Valentine's dinner menu. You can get prepared. On Wednesday, February 7th, they will do a workshop on the Pinot Noir grape. Learn a little bit about that. And on Tuesday, February 13th, is Fermented Kitchen Course, and this is a series. Number 2 on the 13th is Yogurt and Kefirs. You can get details on their website, and they do like just a pre-registration RSVP.
So that's something that you would want to register for beforehand.
It's helpful, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's required, but they do like to have an idea because, of course, they're working with food and they want to be sure we have enough for everyone. And that's at Wheatsfield Co-op, 413 Northwestern. Prairie Moon Winery has started a series of winter concerts. Of course, we're familiar with their summer concerts on Sunday afternoons. These are... on the weekend, on the 26th, they'll have Randy Burke. 27th, Fort Defiance. February 2nd, Steve Cowell. And on February 17th, they'll be doing a sweetheart dinner. Dinner and dancing for you and your sweetie. And some wonderful live music from Ray and Jane. And Ray and Jane are from the Planet Passengers band. And then on February 23rd, Jason Boggs. So it sounds like these are sort of a cocktail hour, wine and appetizers from 6 to 8.
Allison, do you know, is this something they're planning to do regularly in the winter?
I think so.
A February thing?
I think they are continuing these, if I remember mm-hmm. right, every weekend throughout mm-hmm. the winter. Mm-hmm. So you can go winter or summer now and get your music at Prairie Moon Winery. Story City is doing their 19th annual Rosy Cheeks 5K on February 3rd at 9 in the morning. Starts at the Story City Fire Station. And then they'll have a 5K and then pancake breakfast to follow. So you can check out the storycity.net website for details to register for that 5K on February 3rd.
That's storycity.net.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is an interesting special event. On Tuesday, February 6th, Jack's Outdoor Gear is hosting a talk by Andy Anderson, who was a former employee. And he is going to be speaking about his trek up Mount Everest. A 52-day trek that it was history-making in that Andy and his cousin John were the first Iowans to summit the mountain via the lesser-climbed and more challenging Northeast Ridge in China. Wow. So they'll share their story with a slideshow presentation and a discussion about all the different aspects of the historic ascent, his progression as a climber. He started right here in central Iowa. And
climbing mountains.
Yes. And he learned a lot of life lessons along the way. So he's from Boone, and I suppose he did start over at the ledges. He's now an assistant professor of management at UNI. But he is originally from Boone.
So. Allison, you know, when I was a child, my biggest fear was, and I grew up in Iowa, uh-huh. my biggest fear was volcanic eruptions.
Oh, well. And have you overcome that fear?
Well, he must have been climbing the volcano that I was afraid of.
Oh, funny. It sounds like a wonderful presentation. That's Tuesday, February 6th, and it will be at the CPMI Event Center, which is out in the ISU Research Park, 7 o'clock. So on to other things. We have the Dover String Quartet performing on February 9th, and this is presented by the Ames Town and Gown Chamber Music Association, and it'll be at the First United Methodist Church, 7:30 in the evening. We have Orchid Fest coming up at Ryman Gardens Saturday and Sunday, February 10th and 11th, all day long. And
everybody's eyes just lit up in the room. I'm not sure why, but a bunch of orchid fans in this room.
Yes. The Central Iowa Orchid Society will have things on display, and you can purchase. And they will also be there to answer questions and provide insight on care and keeping of orchids.
Yeah,
and they're really
not
a big topic. as finicky as some people think. So you should get a lot of good information there. That is February 10th and 11th throughout the day at Ryman Gardens. The Ames Home Builders is hosting their third annual Home and Garden Show. And they've moved their date. They used to be doing it in March, but now they are Saturday and Sunday, February 17th and 18th. And this is at the Hanson Ag Student Learning Center, which is out on Mortenson Road. And they will fill the arena with 65 vendors in the home building, home improvement, and lifestyle living areas. It's a two-day show, and it's open to the general public, and there'll be some educational seminars and kids' activities as well. The Ames JCs are hosting a Mardi Gras party. And that will be Friday, February 23rd at the South 17th Event Center. Do Mardi Gras the Ames way. Doors open at 7 with a band. They'll have the Vinyl Vagabonds playing.
And where is that again?
The South 17th Event Center.
Where is that?
That is next to... let's see. Electric Wholesale. It used to be Hickory Hall, and it is south of Earl May on South 17th Street. And it's a great venue now for concerts and other events. And so the Ames JCs are going to be hosting their Mardi Gras party there this year. Downtown is also doing a DIY day. On Saturday, February 24th, all day from 10 to 4, different businesses up and down Main Street will offer classes and instruction for hands-on projects that are make and take. Hmm. So you can learn several new crafts and skills throughout the day, and there'll be classes, I think, every hour or every other hour, so you can partake in a lot of different opportunities throughout the day.
And this is something you can just walk in?
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. There'll be each business will be hosting a different DIY project and something that they're trying for the first time, but they are using Valley Junction as a model. They've done it for a number of years and have a very successful event. So an idea that they got through their Main Street Iowa connections. And lots of shows at Iowa State Center. They are in the height of their season. We have Tadishi Truck Band on Tuesday the 23rd. That's tomorrow at 7:30. We have Moscow Festival Ballet doing Giselle on Thursday the 25th. Busy week. Mm-hmm. And that's at Stevens Auditorium. They are doing a presentation during the day for grades 3 through 8, but also open to the public, Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. And that's Monday the 29th. There's a show at 10 a.m. and 12:30. And you'll see a lot of school buses because they bring schools in. But it is also open to the public. So if you are homeschooling or you have other opportunities, kids that might be interested or you're interested yourself. Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad, Monday the 29th, shows at 10 and 12:30 during the day. Tuesday the 30th, we have The Wizard of Oz. And this is an all-new production of The Wizard of Oz, developed from the MGM screenplay and reconceived for the stage. So there will be a few surprises along the way, as well as a few new songs by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Sounds like a wonderful production. We have the Estonian National Symphony Orchestra coming on Thursday, February 5th. We have Dancing with the Stars live on stage, and that is Monday, February 5th at Stevens Auditorium. Charlotte's Web on Tuesday, February 6th. It is a stage production, and it is another daytime show for schools
for children.
And
mm-hmm.
children. And they have sold out the 10 a.m. show, but have tickets available for the 12:30 show. They recommend this for grades K through 5. And it is, of course, based on Charlotte's Web, the wonderful E.B. White book. We have Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. And if you have a young child, they are, I'm sure, familiar with the number one PBS kids show, Daniel Tiger. And so this is a wonderful stage adaptation, third year of touring. And I know that my neighbor girl, who's three, is very excited to see Daniel Tiger on stage.
That's cute.
We have the Des Moines Ballet doing a triple bill on Friday, February 16th. And that will also be at Stevens Auditorium. And they will be doing three short ballets by three different choreographers, all in one evening of dance, Friday, February 16th. We have the ISU Symphony Orchestra performing on Tuesday, February 20th. Again, this is a daytime performance at 10 a.m., appropriate for grades 4 through 10, but also open to the public. And Iphigenia. Thank you. I knew how to say that, and I would forget.
I know how to say that because in high school we had I played viola, and we played a piece called Iphigenia in Alias.
There you go. All right. Friday, February 23rd.
See what 23rd you learn in high school?
And Saturday, the 24th at Fisher Theater. Mm-hmm. And this is the Greek myth, who is told by the goddess that he must sacrifice his daughter in order to be granted wind so that his ships can sail. And this is a new telling of the old legend at Fisher Theater.
Women's March.
There you go. So it is a busy
Allison.
Month in Ames, and that's
amazing.
Not all. That's just some highlights.
Did you organize all these events?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't take any credit. No,
that's very, very impressive rundown.
It is.
It really
it's
is.
Amazing
it really
the
is.
Things that go on in our
yeah.
community and many more. So check out our website. ThinkAmes.com has the full event calendar available. And if you have things that you want to add, please contact our office.
Okay, and the Convention and Visitors Bureau just had their annual dinner, which
yes.
was wonderful. And based on what I'm hearing here, things look good for the year for the
Bureau?
Oh,
yes. I think it will be a record-setting year. Lots and lots of big events, as well as all of our annual events back this year.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, thank you. And it has to be said that the Convention and Visitors Bureau gave KHOI a grant this year.
Yes.
And thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. We're going to be using the grant to help pay for our annual anniversary party.
Yes,
in
which
August.
Was a big hit last year, and glad it will become an annual event.
That's right. It's a street party that we hold with music. And this is Local Talk, and we've been here with Allison Walter of the Ames Convention and Visitor Bureau. Thank you, Allison.
Yes, thank you.
I've been your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with Joy B. Thank you for listening. Earlier in the show, we heard from Iowa City's Mayor Throgmorton and voices from the women's rally in Des Moines. We also heard a roundup of state and national news from Iowa from the Iowa Informer, iowainformer.com.
Local Talk was engineered today by Cynthia LeClaire. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also, remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Stay tuned for headline news and Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m.
And remember that you, the listener, are what make KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.